Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
Hello!
Welcome to Heather and Joe's Musical Improv Comedy Podcast.
Welcome indeed. And this is finally the conclusion of our genre's set of podcasts.
I'm Heather Urquhart.
I'm Joe Samuel.
And today we're going to be talking about musicals.
Musicals and opera and other
classical
forms.
Which will be your area.
It will, apparently.
So I get really excited when we come to this.
Do you?
Because, to me, this is where we get to have some real fun with the whole mixing genre with musical and improv.
And also it's because you can parody the genre in the show, can't you? That's you're doing a musical theatre show anyway.
Yeah.
So the perfect thing to parody is musical theatre.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously within the gamut of musical theatre, there is a whole universe in itself.
There is.
Which kind of represents all the other genres. Because really you can sing any genre in musical theatre, can't you?
Yeah.
You think of Oklahoma or West Side Story or Blood Brothers, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, you're leaping around all over the place.
That's absolutely true.
And especially if you take in kind of opera and operetta as well. Like everything from Tosca. To the Mikado. I mean, it's just massive.
So, we could talk about some general areas.
Well, it's interesting what defines something as being a musical theatre piece rather than just
a
rock
song.
And roll song.
Yeah.
For example. So if you think of We Will Rock You, for example.
Yeah.
It's got all the Queen songs in it, but they're kind of dressed up in more of a musical theatre way.
And what would you say musical theatre way is?
Well, it's far more to do with plot and character, isn't it? Because in a 3-minute song that you hear, you haven't really got time to establish plot and character. Sometimes you do, like Bohemian Rhapsody, we find out what happens to the guy. You know, there's plenty of songs about things, but in musical theatre, they're pretty much always going to come from a scene that's already established a relationship, a who, what, where.
Which is why it's so good to be able to do that in a show.
Yeah.
It's more in the context of a show, I suppose.
Yeah. So I think something like We Will Rock You, the songs are more likely to be sung by different characters within that song.
Can you stop talking about We Will Rock You?
Sorry, do you hate it?
I've never seen it. I kind of refuse to.
Okay,
why? Have you seen it?
No, but the school's doing it at the moment.
Oh, God, are you all right?
I'm not doing it.
I just interrupted you. We Will Rock You, the songs.
Yeah, they're more likely to be passed from character to character, whereas in the original songs, it would just be verse, chorus, and so on.
And Mamma Mia, ooh.
I've not seen Mamma Mia.
I haven't seen that either.
But again, you've got characters that run throughout the whole musical,
yeah,
I imagine.
And they've tied them together.
And that they will sing particular songs from their character's point of view.
So I'd like to talk about my favourite musical.
Okay.
Which is The Sound of Music.
Ah.
I'm really sorry, I know it's cheesy, but I used to watch it on loop when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to love it. Mm. I wanted to be a nun because of that.
Well, that went badly.
Yeah. It did. But she didn't end up being a nun either. She married a sea captain.
I haven't done
that yet. But.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, what I love about that is there's loads and loads of Game of the Song in that.
Yeah, my favourite thing. Strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon
on their wings. These are a few of my favourite things. Even How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a game is let's have a bunch of nuns talking about what Maria is like.
Yeah.
And they all have their different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good example of a group song.
Reminds me of Officer Krupke.
Yeah.
As game in the song. Our fathers all are drunks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punks. Gee, Officer Krupke, we're very upset. Where lots of different ways that the youth of today are maligned.
Definitely. We could do My Favourite Things as an exercise, couldn't we?
Of course we could.
Shall we go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want any kind of subject?
No, I'm just going to literally sing about my favourite things, I think. Raindrops on skylights, and when I am indoors,
something. It's the tagline, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got to rhyme with the tagline.
Cool, you do one.
Okay. Vamping, it's called vamping.
Yeah, this is vamping. It's a really good technique, everyone.
Holding a little handle, kicking down the street, making them cry when I think they are too sweet. Sucking a refresher and looking at wings. These are superb example.
No, we'll do another one.
Okay.
We're getting the hang of this.
You've got to try and plan in advance. That's the key here.
No, you don't ever plan anything in advance.
Well, I mean, at least the rhymes.
Okay, I'll tell you what, a subject. It was okay. Good. Let's try the subject. So, we have to sing about good things, about a bad thing. So, what's an example of something that's normally bad?
Something that's normally bad, having a cold.
Having a cold. So, we're going to sing a song about all the good things about having a cold.
Okay.
Staying off work and watching the telly, going to the chemist in my best pair of wellies, even get well cards all covered with blue. These are a few of my favourite things about having a cold.
That was about having a cold. Okay, so game of the song.
Yeah.
In a musical theatre piece.
So favourite things, Maria. Also, it's the heartfeltness of it.
Right.
And when I'm 16 going on 17, that's another great game in the song.
Yeah.
When you're 16, these are the things you can't do, but yeah. When you're 17, I mean, that is a comedy idea.
It is, yeah. So would you say musical theatre songs are more likely to encapsulate comedy?
They are, but the beautiful thing, I think, is that in a comedy show, they can provide a moment of real poignancy.
Well, yeah, because in every musical you will get the heartfelt moment.
On my own, pretending he's beside me. All alone, I walk with him till morning.
Empty chairs at empty tables.
Now my friends are dead and gone.
Memories, na 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 na.
That's not
cheesy.
Poignant.
Isn't it?
Ugh, it's just horrible.
All right then. A boy like that will kill your brother. Forget that boy and find another.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But it gives you license to explore those emotional places.
Got a license to kill. And you know I'm going straight for your heart.
It's not a musical.
It's a Bond theme.
Is that, I suppose we could talk about film genres as
we
well?
We could actually, yeah, we could. We could talk about theme.
Themes.
Bond, there you go, there's one.
Yeah, Bond, that's a theme. That's a genre.
Western.
Yeah.
What are we talking about this?
Yes,
that's an interesting thing. If you're going to do a musical in a Bond style.
Yeah.
Would you just, you're quite good at doing.
Will you just play Bond stuff?
Yeah, that's Bondy, isn't it? But like, what if you could you play
in a Bond style that wasn't,
yeah, wasn't
Bond?
Yeah, that wasn't the tune.
That was alright.
That was really good.
But I'd use the Bond thing.
Yeah, but you know.
Borrowing from Bond.
That was good.
Thank you.
Okay, good. So I'll tell you what though, there is something to talk about in terms of the improv thing, which is, are we talking about doing a long form musical?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about doing musical songs in a show?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we talking about set pieces
in a short form show.
Okay.
There's three things there, really, isn't there?
So out of the set pieces in short form shows, we have a few that we rely on that could be called musical theatre.
Yeah. I suppose the love ballad is quite musical
theatre. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because it's very character driven and it's based on the story.
Should we sing? I'll tell you what, let's just do a verse each of one. But we need an imaginary couple. Or do you know a couple? But Lydia's brother and his fiance.
Oh yeah, I know where they met. So Cy and Emily.
Mm-hmm.
They met skiing in the Alps in Italy.
That's a good one for a ballad.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
They were in different groups. They just happened to bump into each other in the bar.
Oh, I like that.
Mm. But they're both from Devon, which is nice.
That's nice.
Oh, yeah. And nowadays for fun, they like...
we're not going to do a whole one, are we?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Going off to countries, different travelling.
Right, okay. Shall I go first?
I'll go first. Yes, so a ballad, a love ballad, very much about two people meeting, very much about a story.
Yeah, so if there's a love song in reality or in the show, the kind of ballady musical theatre style lends itself very, very well.
And again, the difference between that kind of song and a love ballad that would, like a commercial chart love ballad, is that it's immediately sung by two different people.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really unusual to have that in a commercial song.
'Twas Christmas Eve. The boys of the N.Y. pretty chorus the singing going by, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Yeah, it's unusual.
Then I go and spoil
it all by saying something stupid like I love.
Oh. That's a lovely song.
Yeah. See, that's very musical theatre.
It is very musical theatre.
But, yeah, normally it would be from one person's point of view, I suppose. Whereas in musical theatre, as we said before, I like to involve more characters.
So, vocally and musically, how would we characterise those type of musical theatre songs? I know we talked earlier about, you know, they can be like tango, like in Chicago, or Latin American, like in West Side Story, but generally...
Well, to me, the thing that comes to mind, unfortunately, is that kind of American twang. When it comes to musicals, that cheesy Annie kind of thing.
Oh God, Annie, that's like...
Yeah. Oh gee, you don't say. Well, I know a little song about that.
You're never fully dressed without a smile. So there is a, I suppose that characterises it. Say it was a short form show, someone said, do a musical theatre piece.
Yeah.
Everything has to have a positive outlook, doesn't it?
Well.
Or An over-the-top outlook.
An over-the-top outlook, yeah, absolutely. And also there's that sense of unreality. We were talking about this earlier, actually, the fact using music in scenes, in improv scenes, or any scenes that are based very much on reality is a tricky area. We look at... this is what bugs me about musicals, especially Lloyd Webber musicals, something like Starlight Express. Okay, it's not based in reality because the trains don't talk. But you're in a perfectly good scene, and then all of a sudden, the cheese factor just gets like multiplied by 100%. And then this song starts out of nowhere, and you're like, who sings in everyday life when they're talking to someone?
Yeah,
nobody.
Imagine like if EastEnders was a musical soap opera.
Oh my god.
No, like in the middle of the laundrette. And
yeah, it's,
said,
it doesn't
work.
Yeah,
Dot, what time's my dry cleaning finished?
Well, I went to put my washing in today at the laundrette, and I wonder when I come back, what am I gonna get?
That type of thing.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work.
It doesn't really work.
No, it'd be funny if it did though.
Yeah, it'd be, well, that's the thing, it's funny. Isn't it?
It's funny.
I know, I find that ridiculous in musicals.
Yeah.
When people start singing, which is a bit of a drawback, because that's what musicals are all about.
Now, when we first started doing Mayday the Musical, we did research musicals, and one period of rehearsal, we spent quite a lot of time working on Sondheim style.
Oh, yeah.
To honour you forever, today is for Amy, my happily soon to be wife. Amy, we're really getting married.
Pardon me, is everybody there? Because if everybody's there, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate you going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do, and not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. But I thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
Because vocally and musically, I suppose, that is a little bit different.
Well, it is, because the singers often have to sing in more of a vocal style anyway. It's more, sort of more rhythmic and less rigid.
Yeah.
And the accompaniments are a lot more free-flowing and naturalistic as well.
And I think that's a really good thing to sort of have a listen to a bit of Sondheim.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we get hung up a lot on structures of songs, and there isn't a lot.
No.
In his.
No, and it can often flip from one thing to another quite quickly, one feeling to another feeling.
Quite a lot of monologuing in his.
Yeah.
People will be talking and then they'll suddenly start singing what they're
talking. Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, you know, you've got music in your show. It's a musical theatre piece. You're going to have to use that music. You have to fool the audience into thinking that this is what happens in everyday life.
Yeah.
You have to sell it, like, unashamedly.
Yeah, it's all about selling it, isn't it?
Yeah.
With a musical theatre.
Yeah.
More than anything, I'd say.
Yeah. I thought it would be a good time to talk about opera.
Great.
It's not my specialist subject in terms of classical music, but it's interesting that even way back 400 years ago, they were interested in the idea of singing in the middle of scenes. It's musical theatre of the day, and it's very over the top in a very similar way to modern musical theatre. It's very character driven, it's very overblown emotional, whether that be the love or the death side of things. It's very similar, but it's just... Obviously, the style of music is much more limited.
And the style of singing is more limited.
And the style of singing is very different because America didn't exist. So Americana didn't have its influence that it does seem to have over a lot of musical theatre.
Yeah.
Whether it be...
Glee.
American or not. Well, opera is a gift of a genre.
Yeah,
if for
someone says
comedy,
opera, then brilliant.
Musical improvisation.
So what do you do musically when someone says opera to you?
I do this. I do that. That's opera, isn't it?
Sometimes you do other stuff.
You
get your strings
You can
on.
Do the...
La 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 la.
What's that?
It's called a recitative.
La 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 la.
It's like a sort of sung monologue.
Interesting. I'd like to do more about that.
Yeah, it would always be on a harpsichord. And it's got a set series of chords that it kind of goes through. So...
Well, I look at you and you remind me of the sunshine. All glistening in the morning light.
So on.
Did you make that? That was really nice.
Thanks.
So let's go back to piano, because I think that for a lot of people who are thinking about doing music, they're probably just going to have a piano, aren't they?
Yeah. It reminds me of another Treason Show song, the La Traviata.
Yes.
And then it goes into a recitative. What is life to me without facts? What is left when there's no real damage? What is life? Life without facts.
So it's interesting that, because I remember doing that song.
Yeah.
And I remember just, I found it so funny to hear Mark singing really heartfelt. What is life? Life without facts. And there is just something really funny about the po-facedness of opera when you're singing about things that are completely
non-opera. Well, I think often with opera, most of opera is Italian.
Yeah.
A lot of it's in German, yeah. The Wagner stuff. There's very, very little opera that was originally written in English. So there's already this kind of thing that we sort of don't imagine they're singing about normal things.
Absolutely.
They must be singing about something really important. But actually, that's not true. A lot of it is about very mundane stuff.
Oh, you know, you should find a clip from Shawshank Redemption.
I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid.
You see, that's really interesting as well. There's so much sort of popular opera now.
Yeah.
That we all know the tunes and we can all sing
Nessun
along.
Nessun Dorma.
Yeah. A lot of that, unfortunately, is because of advertising. Because people take well-known classical tunes and they put them with these ad campaigns.
Oh yeah, that's what you mean, yeah.
So we all recognise them and can sing along.
Just one cornetto.
Just one cornetto, give it to me.
There's a classic example of a comedy subject being put into an opera song.
Yeah.
Instant, genuinely funny song available to you in an opera style, just by singing about something mundane or ridiculous in an operatic style. How would you define an operatic style? What do you do with your voice when you have to sing opera?
Well, I do two things. Well, three things, I suppose. First of all, there's just something about, you know, the lung capacity and the sheer volume and force.
And I guess the way you're standing.
So an operatic style of singing is more kind of, you know, so there's a bit of falsetto.
Yeah.
But also there's the kind of staccato nature. So that first thing you played when you played the piano, I sort of think Figaro, you know.
You start to clip the voice and then you sing the word anything, but you sing it very fast. La, 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 la.
You know, I mean, there's a bit of that
lots
going
of vibrato
on.
As well.
Yeah, vibrato.
Wobbling around on the notes.
So yeah, kind of very short staccato, but then also long kind of vibrato notes as
well. Yeah. Lots of breath and breasts.
Breath and breasts, yeah. And if you're a man, lots of breath and breasts as well, really.
Absolutely, yeah. You've got to stick your chest out and give it some.
How you stand, you know, it's all very dignified, isn't it? So the more, if you sell that as well, make it very operatically with your hand in a certain position. And
it's that kind of interlocked hands.
Interlocked hands under the chest and peacock chest.
Yeah.
But if you're singing about something awful, like the bin's not being taken out or something. It's just funny.
Then there's a whole Gilbert and Sullivan thing.
Yeah, now I don't know as much about Gilbert and Sullivan, actually. Mm-hmm. I haven't been exposed to it.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
So they did Pirates of Penzance.
Yes.
And the song about the policeman.
The policeman? You mean the I'm the very model of a modern major general?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I know you meant that?
I don't know.
Yep. And
they're the two things I think of.
The Mikado.
I'm not familiar with that.
Three Little Maids from School.
You see, this is interesting because quite often, if you are doing a short form show and you say suggestions of musical styles,
yes,
Gilbert and Sullivan is definitely one that comes up. And whenever it's come up for me, I've had to totally blag it.
Right.
But it would be nice to not have to blag it.
Yeah.
What would your cheat sheet for Gilbert and Sullivan be?
Okay, they write comedy songs.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, that makes your job harder because you're putting yourself up against something that's scripted and written. Like funny. Modern Major General. I can't think of a harder song to improvise to because it sort of goes... You know Tom Lehrer's classic
The Elements.
Elements, yeah. I mean, how you could I would go so far as to say you could not improvise to that.
Oh, you see, now you're just throwing down the gauntlet. I'm not going to do it today.
With a syllable on every word.
Why not? What should we try? What should we sing about?
You up for it?
I want to have a go. I won't. I'll fail.
Okay. Well, you can fail joyfully.
Yeah, fail joyfully.
Okay, well, Christmas is coming.
All right.
I know we try not to be time-specific in these podcasts, but hey, Christmas is always coming, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
it just might
even
be,
if you listen to this in January.
Yeah, it might be 300-odd days away, but hey.
If it is January and you listen to this, buy your Christmas presents now, you idiot.
Sounds like I think you're talking to yourself here.
Yeah, right? I am.
Okay, so Heather is now going to essentially rap, but in a
light
opera style,
okay.
To the very model of a modern Major General.
Oh my God, can you go really slowly? Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and Boxing Day, and they are three, but there's a lot of days that come before you. Don't you see? You have to do the shopping and you have to get the food, and then you have to cook it all for your grandma and also grandpa too. There's jingle bells and Batman smells and all the other Christmas songs that you will have to sing or listen to the carolers sing them.
Oh, that was a good effort. You did a verse and a bit. Anyway, so the Gilbert and Sullivan cheat sheet.
Yeah.
If I was to play it, so something very rhythmical. I did that the first time.
So I was just saying to you, Joe.
Yes.
Opera, fine, got that covered.
Yes.
Classical. Someone says classical. Subtle difference. How would you define it?
Classical's great for underscoring. If there's any kind of, Mrs. Higgins and Mrs. Blah-de-blah are having tea, I'll always stick on the old harpsichord and give them a bit of underscoring.
Because, I mean, I suppose scary sometimes is quite classical.
I do the Rachmaninoff thing for overblown love scenes. It's kind of like...
So very much. I love you with all my heart and soul.
I want to die. If only I could die.
Ah, now there is one more thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
Bollywood.
Oh my Lord.
Eyes and hands.
It's
big.
Yeah, in the dancing, the hand positions. I mean, really, this is the sort of thing you shouldn't really be tackling unless you really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because it would be very easy to fall into racist stereotype.
Absolutely, but it has been called out before.
It has, so what do you... Yeah, well, I discovered I've got this.
I guess I'd just commit, wouldn't I?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to. I mean, it's an incredibly technically demanding way of singing. There are scales. And then the Beatles do that.
Someone in. Anyone listening, you know, a Bollywood specialist, get them in. Let's to get him in.
That would be really, really cool.
That would be so cool.
So really the world is contained within musical theatre. Any genre is at your disposal.
Yeah.
But I guess a musical would probably have a genre running through it rather than leaping around too much.
Yeah, true. I mean, you know, like, Chicago. That's yeah. got a real kind of jazz, tango, mm-hmm. fusion yeah. feel, the yeah. whole musical.
Yeah.
But then again, they have Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, oh, yeah. which yeah. is their kind of counterpoint comedy song.
Yeah.
But again, it's in a kind of bluesy style, isn't it? So I think, yeah, musicals do take on a feeling, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've finished genres.
We have finished genres. That was a whistle-stop tour.
Whistle-stop tour.
I think it's quite interesting, having done all these genres, that although we are by no means experts in any of these genres, we talked about this in the first one. You have to know a little bit about all of them yeah. in order to be able to do them on stage. And although you might be an expert in one, you're never going to know enough about all of them to convince someone who is an expert in them. So it's kind of, you've got to blag it and you've got to wing it.
Yeah.
But you've got to do it in such a way that you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we've displayed our lack of knowledge and yet still have enough to talk about these genres. That's what you've got to do, the same thing
and
when you're on stage.
We know we're definitely going to explore some things in more detail.
Definitely, yeah.
Rap will do.
Yes, rap was a... Well, I'm still awaiting Heather's rap.
Yeah. Oh, damn, I forgot to get my dad to come round today. Next time, I'm telling you, he's coming. So we're going to do a rap one. We'll get a special guest teacher into
definitely,
that.
Definitely, yes.
We will definitely look at early music and...
Looks like we're going to do a Bollywood one.
Which is very exciting, isn't it?
We are also very open to suggestions from anyone. If you have anything you'd like us to discuss, then do send us an email at openyourmouthandsing.co.uk.
No.
I didn't know. I knew I was going to fuck it up.
openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
That's right. Or you can go to our website, which is www.musicalimprovcomedy.com. Shut it. www.musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk, where you can find all our other podcasts as well. And you can also find them by looking up Sing It on iTunes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So listen to them all and give us your feedback.
Yeah, please give us feedback and any questions, any comments, concerns,
yep.
Get them
well,
in.
Well, no.
Not concerns.
Concerns,
okay.
No.
Questions are good.
Yeah.
Requests are good.
Concerns about Heather's mental health, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or
but it's good. We like to, you know, to do things we think people are interested in.
Yeah, make it interactive.
So if you're thinking, I'm having a problem with my music in this area, can
yeah,
you help?
Let us know. Maybe we can help.
Maybe we can help.
That
yeah,
that'd be great. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, hello. They're gonna do it on the mountain. He just touched her boob.
I know. You know I had to do that.
Oh my God! He touched her boob again. This is porn. We're watching Indian Bollywood porn.
I didn't think they were allowed to show this sort of stuff in Bollywood. I thought it was all implied. Not to know what he's singing.
He's probably beating her up for being a slag and touch her boob.